Father, we just continue to worship you. You are holy. You are mighty. You are good. You are eternal. You are loving. You are compassionate, so willing to forgive. You are full of grace. You are merciful. You are worthy of our praise. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you, Spirit of God, for being with us. We pray that you'd continue to guide us as we worship you, O God. We do pray that you would also be in all the rest of the congregations, gathering and worshiping even now. May your Spirit lead us all. May we bring glory to God the Father and lift up the name of Jesus. Guide us now, Spirit of God, as we set the things of the week aside to focus on you. We're here to worship you in spirit and in truth. So guide us now, we ask, Spirit, move in our hearts, move in our minds, move in our midst as we worship you, O God. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to say just another word about the baptism. Just so you're aware, last week I invited others, if they felt it was the time to be baptized, we would surely enjoy that if you wanted to be baptized too. We know of some that want to be baptized. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take us through what we're going to talk about today, and then we're going to have a song. I will try to be briefer, so we put this all together. And Charles is right. We have a service. We have a baptism service, but we're going to try to kind of blend them, sort of. So there'll be a song of intermission, kind of. And during that intermission, as we wrap up our service in song, it'll give those that want to be baptized a chance to dash to the bathrooms, change clothes, and get ready for the water. So, just in case you're wondering, when am I going to change? That would be the time. If you've got your Bibles, first of all, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. And so we're going to do that first. Then we will go into our baptism service after that. Romans chapter 12, most of you know we've been working our way through the book of Romans. We've been doing it for several months. I did, in fact, actually touch on Romans chapter 12 to begin this series 9 months ago, but these verses are so important, I want to revisit them today. And no, I did not just pull out the sermon from 9 months ago. This is a new one with the same two verses. I want to emphasize these verses again today. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, if you've got your Bible. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and so hopefully that's similar to yours, and it will be on the big screen behind me. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Rome, and very relevant for us today too. That's why I wanted to revisit it. Very relevant. Listen to what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he's pleading. The New Living Translation, if you've got a New Living Translation, it will say that. I plead with you. If you've got an NIV Bible, that'll say, I urge you. So, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church. I urge you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, he's speaking to the church, remember, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let me just say this. When we have been, as Jesus described in John chapter 3, when we have been born again, when we have been born of God, The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in us and we become that new creation. Okay, I don't think that's new to us, that's scriptural. I think we've seen that. And so Paul is saying part of that transition process from being lost outside of Christ to found in Christ, part of that process is to present our bodies, as he says here, to offer them. And you might find more clarity in it with this, to yield oneself in all aspects to God. That's an offering of ourselves as a living sacrifice, to yield oneself in all aspects to God. Does that make some sense? A living sacrifice, he's saying. Now, let us not get confused about Old Testament sacrifices. They were very aware of what Old Testament sacrifices meant. The Mosaic Law was clear about that. The Israelite people were very understanding of that. That was very different. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, an animal was taken. The priest would kill the animal, cut it in pieces, lay it on the altar, and burn it as an aroma, if you would, to God. That was the Old Testament sacrificial system. He is talking about a living sacrifice here in Romans chapter 12. Very, very different. And so, as Paul indicates, what God wants from us as believers, to offer ourselves, not animals any longer, but to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God each and every day. What does that mean? Three things real quickly. I've mentioned one already. To yield oneself in all aspects to God. Are you with me, friends? To yield oneself in all aspects to God. We think, well, being a Christian, that just means going to church once in a while, doesn't it? No, that's not what he's saying. To yield oneself in all aspects to God. When I have committed my life to Christ, and the reason, let me just say this, the reason we're baptizing some of these today, young people that I'm aware of, is because they have committed their life to Christ. And based on the model of Acts, which we see over and over and over, when they committed their life to Christ, they were baptized. So here's my point. When we have committed our lives to Christ, Paul challenges us, he challenges the church to live for him daily. Okay, it's not just, I think we know this, but I'm going to say it. It's not just, okay, I'm going to live for God for an hour on Sunday morning. That's not what he's talking about. When we have surrendered our lives to Christ, it is as Jesus said, a taking up of our cross and denying ourselves and journeying with Jesus. Paul says it this way, I beseech you, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So that simply means we yield ourselves in surrender to him. Amen? Is that clear? That's not all muddied up, is it? Work with me here. This means, yeah, that's getting clear. If it's not, I'll go back and do it again. A yielding of oneself to God is what he's talking about here. He also means it when he says present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we are to lay aside our own agendas, our own desires, and follow Christ. Now, the world would tell you otherwise. You know what I'm saying? The world would say you can have a little bit of the world and you can still be a Christian. You just get to church once in a while. You read the word once in a while. The world will tell you otherwise. Paul is suggesting to us that when we die to self, so to speak, we live for Christ daily. It's not just an hour on Sunday morning. It's our lifestyle. And so we lay aside our desires and we follow him. I said this earlier, I'll say it again. It does not mean we're all going to become pastors. That's not what he's saying. But when we commit to Christ our life, we're going to follow him. It means we're going to live for him daily. At work, at the farm, at the factory, wherever we're at, we're living for him. That's what he's talking about when he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The Jewish people we're very used to ritualistic worship. And I'm not taking away from them. That's what they were used to. You do this, you do this. The Sabbath comes together, you do this, you do this. The feasts come together, you do this, you do this. They're very used to the mechanics of religion. Maybe that's some happens out of that today. When he says to us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, he's not talking about mechanical religion. He's talking about a heart issue. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? He's talking about a heart issue. Let me ask us to ponder this just for a minute. Have you ever noticed how it seems like sometimes people, and maybe that's you, maybe that's me, maybe it's us from time to time, but have you ever noticed sometimes people, well, we just kind of want to get by with God. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? We just kind of want to get by. Well, I'll give him a little time. Well, I'll give him a little bit in the offering plate. Well, I'll volunteer once in a while. We just want to get by. I've noticed it. I've probably been guilty of it. I've noticed, and sometimes I've probably been guilty of this, we don't want to be that serious with Jesus. We'll give him a little if we got a little. We'll give him some time, our talents, our energies, if we got some. But we just kind of want to scoot by. When Paul says to the church here at Rome, and he says to us in the 21st century, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's not just getting by. That's dedicating ourselves to him wholly. This casual attitude, and perhaps the people of the time were used to that. Okay, we're going to gather on the Sabbath, and we're going to do this, and we're going to call it a day, and we're going to go back to our own lives. This casual attitude towards following Jesus is what he's addressing here. Just getting by is not what he's asking of us. Listen to me again when I reiterate what he said. I plead with you. I beseech you. I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ. He's calling us, he's calling them to start living for God like nothing else matters as much as that does. Amen? That's what he's asking. Start living for God. I'm pleading with you. I urge you. I beseech you. Present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice and holy unto God. In other words, Jim's paraphrase, start living for God like nothing else matters, like that does. We don't talk as much about being holy, H-O-L-Y, as we should. And we don't talk about being holy as much as some generations ago did. And yet God calls his children not to just get by, but to live holy lives for him. Amen? That's what he's asked of us. Now, I'm going to conclude that verse and then move on to another one, but I'm going to conclude with this. Paul is talking to followers of Christ. If we have claimed Christ, if we haven't, that's where we need to start. Let me just say that. If we haven't claimed Christ as Lord, if we haven't realized I'm a sinner who needs a Savior, I need to be born again, I need to repent of my sin, believe in Christ, receive Him by faith, and commit to follow. If that hasn't happened, we need to start there. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Okay, assuming that has happened, I have been born of God, I have committed my life to Christ. Paul says, Paul is talking to followers here, and he's saying this. To follow Christ is a radical departure from the world. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? To follow Christ is a radical departure from whom you used to be. outside of Christ. And Paul is challenging the church here. He's challenging us. He's talking about a radical departure from all of that we used to be. How we used to talk, how we used to live, how we used to respond on the job, how we didn't love our neighbors. It's a radical departure from all of that. Just getting by with Jesus is not what he's talking about here. I spoke about the broad road and the narrow gate here some weeks ago, and this is very similar to that. I said then, you cannot have one foot in both. You cannot continue to have one foot on the broad road and think I can have the other one in the narrow gate. You can't do that. It doesn't work. And Paul is saying the same thing to the church here. You can't keep living like the world and be offering your bodies as a living sacrifice wholly to God each day. You can't do both. Paul begins to describe the how-to, if you will, of the first verse and the second verse. Here's what he says. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you hearing what he's saying, friends? Do not be conformed to this world means stop in the direction that you used to be when you're on the path in the world. Stop doing that. This is not, I got to work my way to heaven. This is a response to, I have been born of God and the Holy Spirit of God is within me. I am on a new path. And so when he says, do not be conformed to this world, he means stop living like you're still in the world. Amen? That's what he's challenging the church to. And if I think I can continue to live in the world and do the world's things and be in the world system and have one foot on the narrow path, I'm confused. I'm mistaken about that. We can't have one foot on both paths. We can't serve the world and serve Christ. We can't serve the world Monday through Saturday and say, okay, I'm here to serve the Lord on Sunday. That's what he's calling us from, that attitude of casual, mechanical religion. That's what he's calling us from as we commit to follow Jesus. And so he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's he saying here? Friends, listen. The world and the world system, it's going in the opposite direction of God. And the world around us, in all its allures, in all of its excitement, in all of its fun, the world around us is not pleasing to God. Are you with me, friends? The world around us is why Jesus came to die, to rescue us from the world system. That's why he came to die, to rescue us from that. And when Paul talks about do not be conformed any longer to that, he's saying it's time to put a stop to the direction you're going in the world through the power of Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God. Let me ask you to ponder for a moment. If I have surrendered to Christ, if I have given my life to Jesus, why do I still want to do what the world is doing? I want us to think about that. That's what Paul is calling the people from. Do not be conformed any longer to the world. If I am a believer, if I am living for Christ, then why Do I want to do what the world is still doing? Only you and the Lord can answer that, but we need to ask ourselves that question. I talked a couple weeks ago about the power of the Holy Spirit and how perhaps we've neglected the Holy Spirit's power. Maybe we're suppressing the Holy Spirit and we just want to do our own thing Monday through Saturday. Maybe it's because we don't know God after all. Maybe it's because we haven't been born of God after all. But we must ask ourselves, if we have been, why do I still want to live for the world? I know that it's comfortable and it's popular and it's our human nature to want to fit in. You agree? I mean, that's just our nature, isn't it? We want to fit in. But I'm telling you, friends, when we have been born of God, we don't fit in the world anymore. The world is going in the other direction. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew when he said the broad road leads to destruction and many are on it? The world is going in another direction. And I know we want to fit in. We want to do what the friends are doing. We want to conform to this. I get all that. But when we are born of God, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And Paul says, don't be conformed by the world and its allures anymore. The world is going in the opposite direction. The world is going on the broad road to destruction. And that's why Paul is challenging us. We've got to renew our minds in the things of God. If our life doesn't reflect the things of God, if I go to work Monday through Saturday and nobody knows I know anything about Jesus, I need to start renewing my mind in the things of God. If my life reflects the world Monday through Saturday and doesn't reflect Christ, I need to renew my mind. I need to get into the Word of God. I need to be in prayer with Him. I need to be in fellowship with believers. So I'm renewing my mind in the things of God. My life will exhibit what my mind is full of. Either the world or the things of God. Let me wrap up here so we can move on to our baptism. Bring up that last screen, would you please? That I want us to see these verses again. This is from the Message translation. I really never use the Message translation to preach from, but I wanted you to see a couple of phrases here. I think they're very relevant, very applicable, very easy to understand. So here's the same two verses in the Message translation. Here's what Paul said. So here's what I want you to do. He's speaking to the church. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Is that not easy to understand? That's easy to understand, isn't it? Everything about my life is God's. If I have been born of God, everything about my life, my fun, my eating, my sleeping, my working, and he says, take everything of your ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. That's what he's talking about. Then he says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. And look at what he says next. This is very good. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. You see what he's saying? Don't let the world, Christians, followers of Jesus, don't let the world mold you in its image. Don't just go about life like the world is, and pretty quick you're just conforming to its image. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. That's what will happen if we're not renewing our mind in the things of God. The world and culture will form us in its image when we want the Word of God and the Spirit of God to form us into the image of the Son of God. Amen? The paraphrase continues, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Every day. You say, Jim, I don't have time. Fix our attention on God every day, eating, sleeping, working, activities, fun. Fix your attention on God for all of it. Allow Him to lead us in life. You'll be changed, he says in this paraphrase. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Did you know that God has a will for our lives? Hello, are you still awake? We got water here. We can dunk you in and get you woke up a little bit. Did you know that God has a will for your life? It's not about me anymore when you surrender to Christ. It's about Him and His will. And so when Peterson's message paraphrase says, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, He has a will for our lives, and it's good. His will for you is good. He may not call you to the ministry. He may not call you to be a missionary. But in everyday living, living for Him is good. That's what Paul is telling the church. Amen? Now, if we have found ourselves in that rut of just going through the mechanics of religion, or if we have found ourselves being conformed more by the world than the Word, then we need to readdress some things. We need to readdress who's really master. Is Jesus really Lord? Or is the world still Lord? We need to address some things if we're being conformed in the image of the world versus conformed to the image of Jesus through the Spirit and the Word. We are instructed here, brothers and sisters, we are instructed, do not be conformed any longer to the world. Let's sing that song to close. And let me say this while we're going to prepare for this, and the song means it's time to change if you're going to be baptized. What Paul is talking about doesn't come naturally. Not, sometimes it doesn't come easily. We still got a piano player? But by the leading of the Spirit and by the renewing of our minds in the Word of God, in the things of God, it's doable. He wouldn't ask us to do it if it wasn't. Amen? It's doable. And so it starts with surrender. Surrender to Christ as Lord. Surrender to the Spirit's leading and allowing Him to help us not be conformed to the Word, to the world and its system. It's surrender. Surrender to Christ, surrender to the Spirit. Father, thank You again for Your mercies. The Bible says they're new every morning. Thank You for the grace. Thank You for Your Spirit that calls us, beckons us. Come to the Master. Come, give your life to Christ. Thank you for this, my little brother and little sister, who have said, yes, Lord, I come. Who have said, yes, I come by faith to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and wanted to display to this congregation, family and friends today, by being baptized. Thank you for them. Father, will you bless them? Will you fill them with your Spirit? Will you guide them in life? Will you encourage them when they're discouraged? Will you lead them in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake? Will you use them for your glory? Thank you for them. Thank you for their family. Bless and keep them. Make your face to shine upon them and lead them by your Spirit always, we pray in Jesus' name. And go with us now, Father, as we go into the week, and help us remember these words from Paul. Help us, Lord. We're going to need your leading. We're going to need your Spirit to no longer be conformed to the image of the world, but really be transformed by the renewing of our minds and to follow Jesus in a brand new way. Help us with that, Spirit of God, we pray. Bless and keep each one here. Guide us in this day and this week. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.